It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. As we roll through Labor Day weekend, and it seems like yesterday morning we were rolling into the beginning of summer with Memorial Day. And here we are closing it out with Labor Day. But, of course, with what's changed in the educational system in America, Labor Day is no longer the return of school for most people. My kids, all three of them in college or in high school, started weeks ago. Summer ends far too early so we can accommodate football on TV. But enough editorializing about that. This morning we're going to have Brent Manning, who many of you personally know. And for those of you who don't know him personally, you know many of you know of him. The longtime, very, very popular director of the Department of Natural Resources, who then moved out to Wyoming for a similar stint, went on to run the DuPage County Forest Preserve. He's a member of the Illinois Outdoor Hall of Fame. He's a member of the Illinois Conservation Foundation. I don't know how many other boards he's served on. He is one of the great, not only intellect minds in the outdoors, but a real leader in the world of conservation. And anytime I can get time with Brent, I'm happy to have it, as I hope you will be this morning. And with that introduction, Brent, I hope your head didn't swell too much. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, I appreciate the offer to be on the show. And, no, in fact, it didn't swell too much. I just couldn't remember I've done all that stuff. Isn't that amazing? You get old, it's quite a situation.
Oh, well, the last thing you are is old, my friend. And so, Brent, what I want to talk about today, we're rolling into the fall. Many of us have already smelt some gunpowder on the 1st of September. Next week, I'll have a better sense, Brent, on how the opening of the season for doves went, and certainly teal season opened yesterday in Illinois, so we're a little early to know what's going on. But I wanted to talk, Brent, about a couple things. Last week, I had Kerry Luft, who an individual you know, talking about the 100th anniversary, or as I call it, the birthday celebration of our national parks. And you have been working for a long time. You ran the DuPage County Forest Preserve. You're currently working, I know, with the current director, a guy you and I both like very much, Wayne Rosenthal, on our state parks and what's going to take place in Illinois. And Kerry Luft last week so well pointed out we lack a method of volunteerism or a mechanism to help maintain our national parks. And as I was talking to Kerry and listening, I was thinking, you know, we could just take out the word national and put state parks in there. Illinois is underfunded by hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in our state parks. They're collapsing, and we love them, and people want to go visit them. And we have a governor who's passionate about them and is trying to fix them. What do you think, Brent? Illinois, you ran the DNR and ran an agency that had lots of nature preserves and forest preserves. What is the status of our state parks in Illinois, and what do we do to turn things around?
Well, the status is actually for the money that they have been allowed to utilize, the state park employees are in good condition. But that I have to temper with the comment that they don't have enough money to do things appropriately. You know, a turnaround in the state of Illinois would require several things, and it is certainly not the concern of or the fault of this director or this governor. This has been a long embedded method of management. What needs to happen is dedicated funds need to follow dedicated purposes, and some of those funds, State Park Fund, for instance, who is supplemented now by the Illinois Environmental License Plate, needs to have other, a dedicated supplement that is put there by the General Assembly to bring those up to first-class parks. You know, at this juncture, we have an exceptional opportunity with a gubernatorial appointee who knows the insides and out of the General Assembly in a most amazing fashion. In fact, he's probably the most adept at that as any director we've had, at least in my memory. And he may be able to help manifest change. And in that, I would hope that he does. He's, I know his heart's in the right place. I know he is working very hard to do the best that he can with the resources that he's offered. But if he could work with the governor and manifest change along the lines of something, I'll just use Missouri as an example. They're held up nationwide as an example as to how an agency, Fish and Wildlife Agency, should be run. And if he could start moving in that direction, it would be fabulous.
So let me ask, we're visiting with Brent Manning this morning, and we'd start off talking about our state parks, which in Illinois are our state treasures, right? They are our national parks, whether it's Starved Rock or go up to Zion, and we go all over the state out to Mississippi Palisades. Brent, when I travel around the state, and you, of course, have done this for a long time and ran this agency, what I hear today is, gosh, I wish the people who care about these state parks could volunteer more. I wish they could help me. We have state parks now, as you may know, who don't have anyone there because there's no funding to have somebody to run them. And I was with the director Rosenthal at a natural resource board meeting recently, and he said we're looking at a situation where we can't open some of our state parks because we don't have anybody there. So in Illinois, volunteerism has not been something that has really been embraced in recent times because it's viewed that volunteers are taking jobs away from people who could work. What do you make of all that? And Carrie Luft and I last week were talking about the Civilian Conservation Service, the CCC, which of course basically built the infrastructure in our national parks. Could we have anything like that in Illinois at this time? Is it feasible?
Yes, it is feasible, and I think it's a matter of modernization. When I was director, I had a very good working relationship with ASME.
For those of us who aren't into acronyms, you got to tell us what that means.
American Federal State Municipal Employees Union. I think I got that right, or almost right. But the bottom line is, it was the union that supported the employees in the state of Illinois, and I would work with them on certain projects. They would allow their employees to do things that were right into the contracts, things that I would ask them to do. And I'll give you an example. Riprapping is a very important consideration for a water impoundment. Sometimes it prevents significant erosion. Well, none of the employees wanted to riprap. So ASME said, if you can find volunteers to do that, that would be okay. Well, we found volunteers. And the reason we found volunteers is that every single small community that's located near a state park considers that state park their quote-unquote state park, which is a good thing. I mean, they are married into the system. They like the system. They like the idea of Red Hills, for instance, having a support group, or Starved Rock having a support group. What we need to do in these times of limited budget is to formalize those relationships, allow people locally to pick up garbage, allow people locally to mow yards or mow the picnic areas or the camping areas. They're willing to do it, and they're willing to do it in such a fashion because there's ownership there. And I know other states do it. Other states allow that level of volunteerism. And during these times of tough troubles, we need to open our eyes and not do things the way we've always done things in the past.
Let's do this, Brent. I think, you know, you've touched on the real nerve here. We can't buy our way out of this hole. And yet we have the goodwill of an awful lot of people who would like to do everything from plant prairie to manage prairie to put levies in, to do whatever it takes so that they can enjoy. Vested self-interest is, you know, it's pretty strong self-interest. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, maybe we can talk about a couple states that are examples of, or organizations that are examples of exceptional sort of public-private partnerships, because I know that the governor is listening to this kind of a dialogue in the state of Illinois. Anything it can take to have our national parks and our natural areas be better managed. I know the governor and the director both personally have said this is a high priority. We're visiting with Brent Manning. We'll be back on the Great Outdoors Show in just a moment. Hope you're enjoying it. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And now a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Winter is here and it's always tough on the road. But when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And nothing is tougher than the 2016 Chevy Silverado. Silverado is the longest-lasting, most dependable pickup on the road. With all-steel construction, Silverado is built to tame Chicago's winter weather. And Silverado's towing package offers 11,400 pounds of towing capacity. Perfect for hauling your snowmobiles. I love pulling my neighbors out of their snowdrifts. And right now, you can get $7,250 total savings on a 2016 Chevy Silverado All-Star. $7,250. That really warms my heart. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and get all the details. Or head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today and pick up a pickup that works as hard as you do, on the road or off. Chevy Silverado is one tough customer.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Hope you're enjoying the show this morning. I'm visiting with Brent Manning, who many of you know from a long time here in Illinois and across the country, is a tremendous natural resource leader and a thinker about how we can continue to move conservation forward. And Brent, I know that as you're this morning talking to me, you're beginning to think about drawing a bow and heading west to do some elk hunting out west, which you've loved to do for a long time. And when you think about state parks, which we've been talking about, many states, state parks is part of their hunting. They hunt in state parks, and therefore there's a natural constituent group, a user group. In Illinois here, if you could sort of wave a wand and offer a possible solution to this backlog of maintenance we have, what kind of a public-private partnership would you put together to advance correcting our deficit from the point of view of just having our state parks be usable to the extent they should be?
You know, that magic wand would be rather far-reaching, but let me give you an example. We are seeing a horrible inundation of Japanese honeysuckle and another Asiatic honeysuckle into our state parks at this juncture. In the north, it's buckthorn. In the south, it's honeysuckle. I hope we haven't gotten kudzu in far southern Illinois. We were monitoring it when I was director, and I hope that it hasn't made it into that area. But those people that enjoy our state parks and our areas fight that daily when they go in to bow hunt, when they go in to even walk the shorelines to fish. They are inaccessible anymore. If on a site-by-site basis, a team could be put together and managed and overseen by the state workers that are there, that would go in specifically to eradicate some of the species that are just taking over the sites, the real, real brushy species. And what they do, they block out the sunlight, they prevent the native plants, the native herbs, the native food sources for deer or other and smaller species from existing. They'll choke out a young oak tree, for instance, and that pin oak won't produce the acorns that it should be producing in the natural cycle of things. In 25 years, it'll be choked out and dead. And those types of exotic plants need removed, and there needs to be a volunteer corps at each state park that can help address the most significant problem at that park. You know, in far southern Illinois, it may be Johnson grass even. In northern Illinois, it might be buckthorn. Central Illinois, it may be one of the honeysuckles. And there are other problems along those lines. Even a native species, the black locust, has taken over many of these areas. And black locust was brought here at the time settlement from the East Coast because they thought it'd make great fence posts. Well, it not only makes great fence posts, but it proliferates to the extent that there are stands now exclusively of black locusts. Those need to go.
Let me ask you, Brent, you know, you think about that. When's the last time you saw a fence row of fence posts in Illinois? You can drive, and I'm not much exaggeration, you could drive from here to Springfield and probably count the number of fence posts on one hand.
Exactly. That's exactly right. We don't need the black locust any longer.
But it's so you're one of the things you would do, Brent, is you would say, let's go after invasive species and let's put together a plan for each state park utilizing volunteers and those people who work in the parks to really get rid of these invasive species. That'd be one thing you would do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Other things are relatively simple. You know, duck hunters, for instance, run check stations. Fishermen do creel census when they have a crappie-thon or a bass tournament or whatever it may be and report that information to the IDNR. They're there and they're willing to help. They just need to be allowed to expand their wings a little bit under the control of the biologist, under the control of those who are in charge of nurturing the state-owned areas. But there's still very, very valuable information they can provide.
So, Brent, let's switch from the state parks for a second, and let's quickly talk about an issue in Illinois, and that is deer and the chronic wasting disease. When you were director, chronic wasting disease, I believe, arrived on your doorstep out of nowhere, and it was an unwelcome present, which now, of course, is a huge concern. In your understanding, and I'm not putting you in a scientific context necessarily because I know we're trying to accumulate some data, are we controlling the growth of chronic wasting disease in the deer population? Is it spreading in Illinois? Where do we stand with this situation?
Well, much to the chagrin of some of my fellow bow hunters, we are controlling it, but we have to use a very harsh method of control. What we're doing is manifesting a slow growth of chronic wasting disease versus the explosion they've seen in some states like Wisconsin. Chronic wasting disease is one of four prionic diseases that affects mammals, and it causes it causes the degradation of the brain, and it's always fatal. We can't afford that to get into our general population. There needs to be a lot of research going on. Most recently, I read an article that was rather interesting, saying there are some deer that may be resistant to chronic wasting disease. And in that situation, it would be absolutely fabulous if we could isolate some of those animals and make sure that their bloodlines or their genetics would influence the population. The problem is, in a wild population, it's a very, very difficult logistical problem. So more research is needed.
Well, let's do this, Brent. We'll continue the conversation. I know you're going to look for a big bull out west. Good luck to you. And when you come back, let's talk more about the moving Illinois forward, which I know you and the director of the DNR and so many people are engaged in doing. Thanks for being with us this morning, Brent. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's my honor.
That's Brent.
Happy Labor Day.
Same to you. That's Brent Manning, and you've been listening to The Great Outdoor Show on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, WGN Radio.